The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given us to indwell us, to teach us your word, even if we don't want to know it. We thank you now that you will move your servant out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. In Jesus' most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say in this church. Verse 19, John chapter 1, sermon 10. We are rolling. Verse 19, we talked about this some last week. A couple of weeks ago, was it? A couple of weeks ago? A
couple of weeks. Yes, sir.
We talked about this and we laid some foundation. And it's important to fill in the blanks. A lot of times we go over information, then we got to stop, slow down, come back, and fill in between the lines. But the only way you can fill in between the lines in one verse is because you can find it on a line in another verse. Can I have an amen? We have too many people adding and reading between the lines in Scripture when they can't find what they're reading between the lines anywhere in the Bible. So always remember, the only way you can read between the lines is what? Find it on a line in another verse. Let's do it. Verse 19, and this is the witness of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but he did confess, I am not the Christ. They said, well, then you must be Elijah. He said, no, I'm not Elijah. Then you must be that prophet. No, I'm not the prophet. And the reason why they are asking these questions is because they are offended greatly about how John the Baptist has been preaching. You don't get it here in John chapter 1, how offended they are. We're going to go over here and look at a couple other verses so you can find out how offended they are. They're also asking him, are you the one? Why? Because 30 years prior to this, there were some angels visiting some shepherds where they was tending their sheep, and said that the Messiah was born. So for 30 years, they haven't heard anything about the Messiah. But they know he should be on the earth. And all of a sudden, John the Baptist shows up. And they're saying, well, oh, been about 30 years. Okay, he's 30 years old. Ministry beginning. Oh, okay, maybe he's the Messiah. And that's why they was going out to the desert. And then when they found out what he was preaching in the desert, they didn't like it. You want to find out why they didn't like it? Let's see here. Why do you think he was Elijah? Jesus Christ says later on in the book of Matthew chapter 17, whoo, let me tell you a couple of things about this Messiah. And he lays it out on them, and he tells them that if you believe in me, Elijah has already come. So we'll talk about that later on in the book of John. Go with me real quick to Matthew chapter 3. I say it quick, right?
Yes, sir.
Matthew chapter 3. Let's begin with verse 6. Back up to 5. Then went out to him all of Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about the Jordan. Talking about John. John the Baptist is out, and he is in the area over by Bethesda, in a land called Bethany, in a city called Bethany, not the one by Jerusalem, but on the other side of the Jordan, the same place he's going to be arrested by Herod, and the same place he's going to be beheaded by Herod. Keep that in mind. And he was baptized in them, and he was baptizing them in the Jordan, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath that is coming? Now, I don't know about you, but this man is not like the modern day church. He has not taken evangelism 101, and that is, don't hurt anybody's feelings. Here are the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day, the one who's got all the power. You vipers! You den of vipers! You heathen sinners! You think you're leaders? Why are you out here in the desert? Listen to me. Oh, you're running from judgment that's coming. That'll get somebody's attention. It's too bad we don't hear that very much in the church today about you need to repent of your sins. We're not talking about you're sorry because you got caught. But you have repented, turned around 180 degrees, where you're going that way, your own way, and you're now going this way to please Jesus Christ. That's repentance. And you don't do it with a reluctant spirit. You do it with a humble, contrite heart before God and say, I'm wrong. So you can see now, back to John chapter 1, why they're asking these questions. You're going to blast us in public? You're going to say things about us? Then we got some questions for you. The way you preach, and evidently you must think you're Christ. Nope. You evidently you think you're Elijah. He said, why do you think you're Elijah? I'll tell you exactly why they think that he's Elijah. Because of the way he's dressed. How's he dressed? Brother got a camel skin, camel hair suit with a leather belt wrapped around it to give him a little shape. You ladies know how that goes. Can I get an amen? Eating out there in the desert some locusts and wild honey. My boy was bad. When we was in Israel, how many of you have been to Israel with us? One of these days, man, God, as he continues to improve what's going on over there and improve what's going on in here, we got to take another trip to Israel. When we was in Israel, they told us something, man, that kind of just I didn't like about John the Baptist. And they said, well, you got to understand that a lot of people think that he was eating locusts with honey. Well, in the desert, there's a plant called locust plant. It's kind of looks like a green bean pod, flat, purple. Now, if he's eating that, he's more man than eating grasshoppers. Can I have an amen? Vegetables just don't get it very hard in man's life. But I don't know. I still like the original story. Can I have an amen? I think it's a real man that's walking around with camel skin on in the middle of a desert. Belt on, grab a grasshopper, stick it in some honey, bite the head off. Oh, that's a man right there. Can I have an amen? Yeah. That'll get your attention right there, Jack. So it has got to be Elijah. Nope, it's got to be the prophet. Oh, we laid out a couple of weeks ago what I think the prophet is. A lot of people think that other prophet in verse 21 is Moses. I don't believe that. It's been a confusing interpretation because of the Matthew 17 on the transfiguration. When Jesus takes James, John, and Peter up on the mountain, guess who they see? They see Elijah and Moses talking to Jesus up on top of the hill. So they think that the two witnesses that's going to come back is Elijah and Moses. According to Hebrews, I believe the two witnesses got to come back as two people that has never died, who was taken off the earth before they die, because scripture must be fulfilled and is appointed once. Now, you can die two or three or four times, because every time someone was resurrected, they died twice, at least. Can I have an amen? But since it's appointed once, and the only ones that have not lived up to this until now, and it says until the judgment, until Christ comes to get us, everyone's appointed to die, and Elijah and Enoch are the only two that haven't. So I believe this witness, this other prophet, is going to be Enoch, who's going to come back during the tribulation period. Can I get an amen? But I don't have time to spend much on that. Let's roll. He says, who are you then? Why do you think you can tell us and jump on our case? He said, I am the voice of the one, verse 23, crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 3, make straight the way of the Lord that's coming. He's already said in Malachi chapter 3, I am only the forerunner. I am not the Christ. I'm a forerunner. The forerunner's job is to be obedient to the scriptures. The scripture says, I am to open up the desert. I am to smooth out the paths. I'm to make straight the way. So when Jesus Christ walks in here, he does not have to go back over and try to fix up what my job is. And ladies and gentlemen, when you and I are walking with God, it is not right for us to have Jesus had to come by and fix what we have made crooked. Our life is to get in people's lives and to live our lives in such a way that we make it a path straight to Jesus, regardless if it offends them or not. And too many times we go, oh, Jesus, oh, you done messed up again. Oh, you done said all these words. Now I got to get it straight. Oh, how am I going to do it? You don't have to get nothing straight. Jesus got it straight. And as long as you are doing it the way God wants you to do it, you will keep it straight. Verse 26, John answered them saying, I baptize with water. Because you can't do this if you're not the Christ, if you're not Elijah, you're not the prophet. Yes, I can, John says. I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you know not. It is he who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to loose. Folks, when the Pharisees and Sadducees and the other Jews heard this, they were just blown away. Do you understand the lowest servant in the house, the worst slave, the weakest slave, the one who has the less power in a home, was the one who would take the shoes off visitors and wash their feet? John says, I am so low. I am so unworthy. I can't even bow down to unlatch Jesus' shoes. That's how high he is over me. Do we understand where our relationship with Jesus Christ is? That we are of no importance when it comes to him. Our reputation is of no importance when it comes to him. There is nothing in our lives that's more important when it comes to him. We are to live in such a way to make the path straight to an unbelieving world and to a Christian that is not living the way they should. Make the path straight. Don't have anyone guessing. Ooh-wee. Verse 29. These things was done in Bethany. Verse 28. Beyond the Jordan where John was baptized. And the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him. And he says, ho! Hold up! Someone say amen to the brother. He said, you know the one I've been talking about? The one I made the path straight about? Let me lay it on you. There he is. The Lamb of God. Can anyone in here want to know what I'm talking about? There he is. Do we still have the ability today to stay out of way when we're witnessing about Christ to say, there he is, not here I am? We got too many people want to say, here I am. Who are you? Who am I? Nothing. Except one call to make the path straight. Yeah. Look at this. There he is, the Lamb of God. Folks, the first time, it's only used, I think, two times, this title, meaning Messiah, meaning Son of God. It's only used by three times in the New Testament. Two of them is here in this chapter in the book of John. Here in verse 29 and in verse 36, praise be to Jesus. You're going to have to wait to get to 36. Behold the Lamb of God. This is he whom I said after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me because he made me. But you guys don't know that. Here comes a contradiction that people can jump on. And I knew him not, but he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come to baptize with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it bowed upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bore witness that this is the Son of God. Can I have an amen from somebody? This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. This is the answer to all Old Testament. This is why I'm here, the Old Testament prophet, the last Old Testament prophet, the first cousin to the Messiah. There he is. So bother me when you don't get the whole story because he says, I don't know him. And God told me that I would know him when he comes down and I see the dove come down. Something ain't right. If you just read one thing, it's just kind of contradictory. His aunt knew who Jesus was. Elizabeth, Zechariah, do you think they told their son who the Messiah is? So there's got to be a little bit different truth here that we're missing. Because over here in another section of the scriptures, go with me to Matthew. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. Matthew chapter 3, we got to roll. Oh, man. Verse 13, Matthew 4. Verse 13, Matthew 4. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you. And you are coming to me? Whoa, 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 whoa. When did the Holy Spirit descend? Before the baptism or after the baptism? It's go, oh, man, you guys must be lost because you don't want to speak up. Matthew 3, verse 14. What did I say? Did I say 4? Got the word. Got to keep the father straight. I can't believe I said Matthew 4. Matthew 3. When he comes in, he says, what is the issue? Does the Holy Spirit come down after Jesus is baptized and come out of the water or before Jesus is baptized? After. Matthew chapter 3 says that John the Baptist recognized him before he was baptized. Before the Spirit of God came down, before it ascended like a dove, not as a dove. Don't get confused. It ascended like a dove. So is that a contradiction in Scripture here? Oh, when John, it says, I didn't know him. I didn't recognize him. And the one who told me to go baptize with water will reveal him to me when I see him, when I see the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove and land on it. But over here in Matthew chapter 3, it says that Jesus was recognized by John before he was baptized and refused to get, I'm not worthy to baptize you. That's when non-believers and people that are critics can jump on the scripture and say it contradicts. Let me give you a little secret. How many years do you think it's been since John the Baptist may have seen Jesus? How many years have you gone by haven't seen someone? And all of a sudden, they show up. You go, is it? Can it be? And John says, I hadn't seen Jesus for such a while that he's going to have to be revealed to me when I do see him. I know who he is. I know who the Messiah is. I know who Jesus is. But as far as recognizing him, it's been a while. But when Jesus showed up, the spirit that was in John even before he was born, like the baby in his Elizabeth's body, when John the Baptist was still in her womb, he had the Holy Spirit. And when Mary walked in, he jumped, knowing what his job was going to be. But this is, I don't know, folks, do you think that you would ever doubt? Look at John, real quick. We got to go. I'm sorry, but this is so good. Look at John. Look at verse 34. And I saw and bore witness that this is the Son of God. Turn real quick to Matthew 11, and we will close. And this time it is Matthew 11. Hopefully. Everyone got it? Matthew 11, check this out. verse 1. John baptized Jesus. John submitted to Jesus when Jesus says, you got to baptize me because the Father demands it of both of us. He baptizes Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes down. Hold on, folks. And then a voice from heaven. Anyone here listen to me? A voice from heaven says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Why? He hadn't done anything except one thing for 30 years. And he had 1 ounce of ministry in 30 years. Spoke up with Jesus when he was 12 years old. That was it. But this is my son in whom I am well pleased. You mean to tell me God is more concerned about what you have become in him than what you are doing for him? We need some Christians that's excited about being, not doing. No changes. I am with Christ. Sold out. And it doesn't matter what I do, it's who I am that produces what I do. And John, verse 1, chapter 11, after all of that, comes up and says, verse 1, Matthew 11, and it came to pass when Jesus had ceased commanding his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. John is in prison by Herod, getting ready to be beheaded. Man, okay, Jesus in town. Go down and ask him this question. Are you the one that is supposed to come, or should we expect somebody else? Are you the one that is supposed to come? But because my circumstance is bad, because it looked like I may be beheaded, I don't think you're the one. I know I saw you when I baptized you. I know I saw the Holy Spirit comes down. I know I heard the voice from heaven say, this is the one. But since my circumstances are bad, are you really the one? How many Christians do I have in here, regardless of what's going on, you know he is the man. Who's the man? Jesus is the man. Can you live it? Your pastor does. Your pastor will, and I will die a righteous man, regardless what anyone thinks. All of you that are visiting, if I scared you, sorry. But I'm really a nice guy, and I want to say hello to you at the end of the service. Right outside those double doors, take a left, because you are important to us, and I like to say hello and give you a gift. Amen? Thank you so much.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.